5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hands.
Hi there, I'm Dan Patrick.
And I'm Kenny Mayne.
With the first 7 months of the basketball postseason out of the way, the playoff picture is now starting to emerge.
So with last night's victory over Boston, next week the Bears must beat Indianapolis in order to advance to Charlotte. That's in an effort to reduce their magic number to 3.
Right, and then the Bears can advance to the National Eastern Division North to play Tampa.
So if the Bears beat Detroit and Denver beats Atlanta in the American Southwestern Division East Northern, then Milwaukee goes to the Denslow Cup. Unless Baltimore can upset Buffalo and Charlotte ties Toronto, then Oakland would play L.A. and Pittsburgh in a blind choice round robin. And if no clear winner emerges from all this, a two-man sack race will be held on consecutive Sundays until a champion is crowned.
Okay, gentlemen, that was an infamous clip or a famous clip from the movie Basketball. And why are we referencing basketball in an episode of Soccer Sense? Well, we are about to find out. This is Tariq welcoming you back to the Sensible Football Podcast. That is Soccer Sense. Joining me from Bangalore is Vishal again.
Hey, guys.
And I know we're not going to upload video, but today Vishal's display name on the video is Ahmedabad of the UK. We'll come back to that in just a moment. And of course, from London, it's Karan.
Hey, guys.
So let's get Vishal's display name out of the way first, because as if after having lost a game to Brighton at home, and the tournament we are going to talk about, which is the Champions League, where the other Manchester team lost a game to PSG to find themselves on the brink of potential elimination from the first round of the Champions League. As if things could not get worse for Manchester. A Coldplay fan page tweeted that Coldplay are about to perform in the Manchester of the East, that is Ahmedabad.
Oh, we are a dry state.
So that is where we are at with
we,
Manchester.
We can be who we want it to be. Manchester, Gujarat, Ahmedabad. Put it home.
So that's where we're at with Manchester right now. But gentlemen, after a long time, we're back discussing the Champions League. Or so we think, because we really have not gotten to terms yet with what is going on in the Champions League. Our designated European correspondent is also pretty confused. So Karan, give our listeners the background around why we started with the basketball clip when we were talking about the Champions League.
First of all, one of the best movies of our school/university days for sure. And honestly, that particular clip that you played is one where, you know, they basically discuss the format of this made up sport called basketball. And honestly, that clip made a lot more sense than the actual Champions League format right now.
So talking of the actual Champions League format, obviously we have so many teams. It's 36 teams in the table. I mean, it's less a championship or a, let's say, a points table, more of a periodic table at this point. But we're still trying to kind of figure out what where these teams go because everybody plays eight games against a certain strength of schedule, and effectively the top 24 teams go through to the playoffs. But then again, you have the top 16 going through
I think
directly
it's
to the
the I
next
think it's
round.
the top,
Oh, the
from what
top
I
eight,
understand,
sorry.
it's the top eight goes through to get a bye to, I guess, I'm assuming, what would be considered a quarterfinal, and then the next 16 teams play against each other to make it to whatever that next round is, and the last 12 teams basically get psyched.
So basketball too, this time it's UEFA.
Inclusivity is great till it's not.
So I mean, what this has done is it's obviously rooted ourselves away from the group format, which because of its silo could give us sort of the good teams in each group, and then you could kind of compare the strengths against each other. But now it's a wide field of teams. So Vishal, give us your theory of what you have read into the performances so far, because we have, let's say, a Liverpool topping the group. Well, yeah, it's one large group, but topping the table with 7 wins out of 7, and obviously punching their way into the top eight. But amazingly, none of the other teams are not necessarily even guaranteed top eight. Or like any kind of assurance about whether they'll have to play a second round tie or not. And we've had obviously Barcelona and Arsenal have been two teams who have been playing pretty all right. Inter's up there and so on. But your theory of that, have the teams been hitting the top gear, or do you think they are kind of pacing it because of the format?
I think it's definitely pacing it because of the format, right? Because what UEFA have gone and done is made it okay to actually float and get to the knockouts and then figure life out. It's almost like how the NBA has the play-in tournament and the March Madness in NCAA, which is the college tournament in US. It's almost that format, right? Like where most teams are thinking, okay, we can actually be mediocre, almost not up to the mark, and still get to a certain part of the knockout and then really ramp it up, right? And I think that's really the plan from a large number of teams. And if all things work well, it allows them to almost treat this like a build-up, like how a large number of Premier League teams treat the early rounds of FA Cup or the League Cup, right? They play the reserve team, they play the youth team, and then go ahead and bring it out during the knockout. So I just think it's most teams are just playing it out because as it is, we have too much football. This just has increased it.
Karan, your take on that? So you've presumably seen some of the action. Just for bringing in your angle also, Juventus sit, I think, equal with points, somewhere in the middle of the table, about 17th, which is like bang in the middle of the table. So how are you reading that? Because I think there has been only one real breakthrough story perhaps in this whole group stage so far, but we'll come back to that. First, let's begin with your overall impression.
I think the other thing is a lot of teams themselves are trying to figure out what exactly this format entails. So that is one. And secondly, the main target for them, for pretty much every team now, is to make sure that they're in the knockout stages. So that is what the aim is going to be. Now, after that, I mean, earlier, for example, with the group stages, we would know that, say at the end of it, the group winners would end up playing, another team who finished second in the group. So we kind of were able to, and there were certain parameters about, teams not being grouped together for who are from the same country, etc. So we were kind of able to judge a pool from which a particular team could kind of draw an opponent. Here we're still trying to figure out how exactly that's going to work in the next round. Is it going to be like the number of the team with that stops table that plays the team which is like the bottom most, or like how they do in the NBA? Like, again, I think we keep coming back to the NBA or NCAA references over here. Like the top seeded team plays the number eight in the playoffs, right? So is this going to be that sort of a format? We're still trying to figure that out. So it's definitely quite confusing. But the one point is, yes, while teams can will be kind of, pacing themselves over here, there are certain teams who are just in that borderline stage of between 20 and 24 who cannot afford to pace themselves, because if they really want to get into the next round, and there are teams who are just outside the 24, like for example Manchester City, who are going to be panicking right now.
No, so I think inside the 24 you have teams sort of like let's say PSG, for that matter even a Sporting, who, well, incidentally both have beaten Manchester City
Everybody's beaten Manchester City.
to be in there,
Sep.
but say. I think whoever is the I League club from Ahmedabad, if there is one, might also be in with a shout at beating them at this point.
I mean, even Drew and Tiz were able to beat them.
So, I mean, these losses obviously have counted heavily against City. We've had, I think, two teams which have really stood out, you know, besides Liverpool, who have just been in great form and they have very smartly probably negotiated these group stages. I think Liverpool have had potentially like two intense games, really. You could say the Real Madrid one was an intense game, primarily because of rivalry reasons, less because of where they were on the table, because they were already sitting pretty comfortably there at that point. But Real Madrid has been a bogey team for Liverpool in the Champions League, as we are all very well aware. However, I think the Arsenal's performance has been pretty impressive, because I think they've also lost just like one game, and so have Barcelona. But one of the stories of this format has probably been somebody like a Lille, who of course lost to Liverpool in this week's games, but before that had just lost one game and won four and drawn one. Including, you know, a famous result against Real Madrid. So, I mean, even if we can't read quite into the teams right now, how are we seeing, or who are we seeing as potential front runners here, or somebody who could spring a surprise in the, well, I think UEFA planned this because the playoffs are going to be, a lot of them are going to be in March, so they clearly are aping March Madness here. So
I would say that probably while this is a completely new format and teams are still trying to figure it out, the one thing stays the same, which is about peaking at the right time. And teams like Real Madrid under somebody like Ancelotti are masters when it comes to peaking at the right time. There have been multitude of times where Real Madrid have not been the most impressive team in the former group stages, but come the knockouts, they just step up. Teams like Real, Bayern, etc. UEFA can try all the permutations and combinations that they want to make it a lot more unpredictable. At the end of the day, come the big games, the cream always rises to the crop in this competition. So
So
I think, yeah.
I think besides the fact that you just mixed up two metaphors, Karan, it's cream always rises to the crop, or cream of the crop. Pick your lane. Much like UEFA trying to pick their lane on which. But coming back to, I think it was less about, let's say, introducing more unpredictability into the format, and it was more about, you know, bringing those high value games in because they wanted sort of what we saw with Manchester City and PSG. Ironically, because the clash was one where both teams' survival was at stake, I think we got treated to a hugely entertaining game, made doubly entertaining by the fact that City ended up losing a 2-goal lead and losing the game 4-2. But it seems to have been an attempt at bringing, you know, through the back door the idea of the Super League. But what UEFA seem to be discovering is that, you know, it's not as easy to build a Super League like that, because in fact, if anything, it's unpredictability that has kind of come back to haunt them here.
No, absolutely right. And I think what UEFA do not realize is they have now actually provided a platform for clubs to deprioritize the Champions League to a certain extent. Now you either deprioritize it during the early stages or you deprioritize it in a stage where you realize, okay, I might not make it this season. Let me save my team for the rest of the tournaments and rest of the league and the rest of the cups that I'm part of, right? It actually allows, now if I'm Pep, I'm going to sit back and think, I'm sitting in position 25. Do I really think I have a chance to qualify and win the Champions League this year? Maybe not. I already have lots of injuries. Do I calm down now and just take it more seriously next season, right? So there's lots of pros and cons that have not been evaluated, and this format has just been introduced. And I think even we will keep discovering this as we go, but it's just haphazard to say the least.
Yeah, and I think one thing that it has done is with the group stage extended to 8 games. I mean, it's understandable because there's so many teams, you would need those tiebreakers. It has kind of also cheapened the group game a bit. The 6 game format, a lot more jeopardy in that sense. I think you do not get a Gerard Olympiacos goal in this format. Or you never know. You might have Erling Haaland hitting one from 40 yards against Club Brugge come the next match day and take Manchester City through. But clearly doesn't have the same ring. So quickly, gentlemen, I know it's probably early to form an assessment of the group stage, but the consensus seems to be that it is getting into that format where only a few games matter. So, so for example, when I was at Temple University, we were a decent basketball team, but during the season, not everybody attended all games or even bothered to follow the scores. There would be a couple of rivalry games that everybody looked at and then everybody would say, hey, are we just good enough to, make it to the playoff seeds in the division come March? And then we look at the rest of the schedule to figure things out. So quick final word on, do you think the playoffs are going to change anything of how this model might be perceived? Because we have that sort of a play-in, like you said, Vishal, like the NBA.
Two, three things are going to happen, right? One, fitness is going to become a large, large point of discussion, because as you can see, Liverpool, for example, are getting more and more key players are getting injured. Arsenal the same. So injuries is going to play a big role in terms of how the next part of the tournament or the next part of the Champions League is going to take shape. But if it doesn't, I think, yes, there will be definite amping up. There will be definite push from most teams who make it there. But yeah, I think it's a lot of football that we're putting these players through. And it is bound to show on their physical well-being at a very basic level.
Karan, your thoughts? So let's look at it this way. For you, I'll change the question. That do you see, for example, that a team which is finishing in the bottom half or the bottom third of those 24, potentially going all the way and winning the Champions League? And I say that fully aware that Juventus are in the bottom third.
Well, maybe not this year, because I think I would say this year probably it looks like the teams who are somewhere in the middle right now might actually end up winning it. But in future, I think the similar to the point that I made earlier, a team like Real or Bayern or any of these, usual suspects would not really kind of, stress themselves out in following seasons in terms of, making sure, we need to be at the top of the table, right? Because their goal is going to be either first stage to be in the top 8, or if that's not possible, make sure you're within 8 and 24. So, and after that, they take it, after that, once the knockout comes in, they take it one game at a time. And these are teams who invariably figure out a way to kind of, progress deeper and deeper into the competition. So I think that's what is going to happen. And because of that, with a lot of these teams having other commitments like their domestic leagues, domestic cups, etc., there is a possibility that, like Vishal said, they're going to probably play, their quote-unquote under-21s in the earlier games. That is going to result in a drop in quality in the game itself, which is basically the complete opposite of what UEFA were trying to do here.
So a lot of unintended consequences and possibilities lie there. And also, I think one other factor that we are not really considering at this point is teams don't really know what is a healthy points total here. Would 12 points get you through? Would 10 points get you through? Do you need like 18? Like what is the actual benchmark? So which I think makes it even more challenging. So whatever is the 40 point equivalent of avoiding relegation in the league, in this Champions League, has to come up. That's a benchmark we're not going to find out, maybe for at least a few more iteration. So it's going to keep things interesting, to say the least. And our European correspondent, that is Karan, very busy on figuring things out.
Yeah, I'm crunching
Because
numbers here.
earlier we would cover, or we would even name through a season 36 teams if we covered all the three European competitions together. But now it is the 36 just in the quote unquote Champions League,
Yeah, even the Bloomberg
which
terminal is throwing up errors when we try to measure the permutations of this.
So Karan and his Bloomberg terminal will be back to take us through the rest of the Champions League in the next episode, along with Vishal and his support of the Ahmedabads of the UK, who currently are in the other European competition. And of course, we'll be back with more thoughts from the Premier League as that enters a crunch weekend. But that's all the time we have for this week. So meanwhile, hoping we don't get a basketball sequel as far as UEFA is concerned. This is Tariq signing off along with Karan from London
Like,
and Vishal.
see you guys.